Blog Talk Radio.
It's a blessing to see people with their heads up to the sky still. 'Cause honestly, for the same can be so real. I'm amazed by all your strength, I am, and I'm grateful you come through, yeah. So I take the time to stop a moment and show my gratitude for you. I'm a writer in the air for you, what you go through. Put my lighter in the air, the truth is you're beautiful, 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 beautiful. Now put your lighter in the air for us. Everybody's singing together, sing a new song. Put your lighter in the air for love. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Many mighty ships are sinking, many stars are falling down, and I count it as a blessing that you hold me up now. Oh, I can tell that you've been praying. My whole life has turned around, yeah, yeah. And I can't go without saying that I thank God for you all now. See what you go through. Put my lighter in the air. The truth is you're beautiful, beautiful. Now put your lighter in the air for us. Everybody singing together, sing a new song. Put your lighter in the air for love.
All about me, 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 and I'm all about you, 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 you know what I'm
I'ma do, do, do.
I do.
When I come through, baby, tonight, provide kisses.
Working hella hard, finally offering you with me. Tell me all the names of the women at your office that make you feel some type of way. Why? I should thank them for the way they work me up. Cause it gives me the chance to give you this day that you deserve. Ain't no going back and forth. I just came to break your back, back. If I'm lying, then I'm lying with you. Tell the truth and that's a fact, a fact. Hey, when I don't get to talk to you, I know when they make you mad.
I know
they can't get you to react.
I know. So baby, tonight, can I provide kisses?
What I'm on.
Let's just stay down.
It's kind of
I'm really happy that you're here with me again. It's been a while. I'll tell you what, if you've got a minute, we can stay until the sun comes up. I'll understand if it's much too early to determine if we can stay together. This way together, let's stay together.
AKA Poetic. The dial-in number, if you should happen to be listening in online, 319-527-6300. And by all means, please press 1. Tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got my Raw Links, too. You have yours. Let's give a shout-out to our CEO, the illustrious author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, who is also the CEO of Raw Links. So make sure you hit that brother up, say thank you for the network, and hey, get you some Raw Links while you're at it. Tonight's topic is an interesting one. Should couples therapy be a regular in maintaining a healthy relationship? You know, you have your things that you take care of monthly that are a necessary part of your life, your rent, your mortgage, bills, car note, insurance, those kinds of things. Going to the doctor for your checkups, dentist, right? Those things that are a natural routine in your life for making sure that you have a long-lasting life. What about your relationship? What about it? Couples therapy. Should you attend therapy sessions together to make sure that your relationship is healthy? Let's talk. talk about it before we get into my answer on this. Let's go ahead and let me give you a piece for tonight. This piece is titled Glass Memory. I have a memory of you and your glory. Fantasies about the day you'll be mine, looking sexy and tasty like red wine. Today is about life's new journeys, filled so many wicked temptations and pleasantry. My golden age memories I need with you. Not sure of any more I do's, but I'm capable of sharing my thoughts and feelings whenever you're around. I get all giddy, and in your love, my heart will drown. Like a fragile sponge, I soak up all your goodness, erupting with the pleasure of forgiveness, holding on to the umbrella of my memory, padding my cells, no longer waiting on wishing wells, skipping rocks at the lake, wondering if my heart you will take. Because I've been imagining these memories full of soliloquies, uncharted territories of acts of love and golden wet dreams upon my sheets, and these visuals and images of her memory created by fantasies and potions of her essence in my factory, where the machines try to revive an emotion I thought was once lost to an illusion. An illusion filmed with illustrations of false realities. One that has me full of dualities, insisting that I'm good and bad. But she's in love with my good and bad. Too bad it's just memories of broken glass, fading pictures in my head of shattered glass. I love the memories of she. I love the idea of we. The way she. And that's that piece. So, couples therapy. You know, it takes time to build trust with an individual. And once you have made the decision that the two of you are going to become this dynamic force, united front, in the ability to move forward with life and prepare to just be with each other, prepare to just be this in this relationship, couples therapy should definitely be factored into the equation. And I say this because we often need an outside perspective on what we've got going on, because sometimes we don't know how to communicate with each other our emotions, our feelings, our lives. And there are two of us who come from different paths and different walks of life, but now we're merging this thing together to be all and end all. And we're saying that, look, listen, we're going to be in this thing together. I pursued you. You allowed me to. You agreed to be with me. I agreed to be with you. And we decided somewhere along the line that we were going to do life together. You know, before you get married, you have premarital counseling, or at least you're supposed to help weed out some of those things that the two of you never even talked about that could potentially be a problem when you say, I do. But just being able to talk to someone together, you know, I often say when you get married that you have this relationship with each other, you have this relationship together with God, and then each of you are supposed to have your own individual relationship with God, where you're hearing God pour into your life so that you can pour into your union. But we let life get in the way. And somewhere along the line, someone gets taken for granted, and we kind of move apart, if you will. But if we had that couples therapy, we wouldn't move so far apart that we can't get back together. We can't keep our unit tight-knit. So that's my take on it. What say you? Listen, I'm excited because we have the Sexy Divas of Epiphany, but the Sexy Divas of Epiphany have been challenged with three pieces. And they are affectionately, you know, SWV. Well, Epiphany's got its own type of SWV, but poetry-wise, and we call them LES, Love, Erotic, and Sensual. So, first up on the mic is the love component of that group. She is also one half host of The Love Zone, the host of Express Your Vibe. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the love in LES, Ms. VIP. Hello, Ms. VIP. How are you?
Well, hello. I'm good. How are you?
I am phenomenal. It is a great night for poetry, for conversation. It's just a great all-around evening. How you doing?
Yes, it is. I'm doing.
Good. Well, I am glad to hear you. Before we get into your love piece, what do you think about couples therapy? What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, you touched on some things that I would say as well, but I think it's imperative. I really do, because a relationship changes with time. First, you have this little honeymoon period, and then you want to, you know, get to know each other, and you're going running to the pastor, will you marry us, and not before counsel. And then, like you said, you weed out the little, you know, aspects of, like, wow, I never realized that we had to talk about raising the kids. Or I never realized we had to talk about a separate bank account. I thought we were one, you know. But then in the middle of, say, the marriage or being together, if you have a significant other, but it's supposed to be marriage, I'm sure, but it changes again because then you don't want to be taken for granted or you don't want your love to be like an old ship. And then also there can, like you said, it can be some imbalance. If there's an imbalance of things going on, taken for granted, one cleans more than the other, one sleeps more than the other one, whatever, then if there's problems, it's best to nip it in the bud right away. Now, with couples therapy, you have to, first of all, you have to be open to it because some are like, nah, I'm not telling my business to anybody. And you know, then they'll get mad, like, I don't need no dad on therapy. But in actuality, you do. So,
right.
And if you do, then, of course, it has to be someone who is objective, like, very impartial, like, don't know you. In my second marriage, we went to our pastor, and all of a sudden, I kind of turned the tide. I was like, wait a minute. He knows me. He knows you. I don't think I like, you know, no. So, but
right.
It dissolved before we could find someone else. But, you know, in short, it's just imperative because even near the end, or, you know, you might need a little boost of advice sometimes. You never know. Someone can always give you something from another perspective. So that's my take.
You know, I'm like that. I'm like that to a fault. I ain't telling nobody my business. What you mean? I'm like that to a fault, right? Because I talked about it when I was giving my response was, it takes time to build trust. You want me to trust somebody who don't know me with some very intrinsic details of my life, a total stranger. And, you know, and for a long time, because I am a Christian, because I love God, and I'm like, man, listen, we got the best counselor in the world in God. Why are we not able to just go and talk to him together? And the reason for that is because there is a biased perspective, because many people will take the Christianity of it and use the word, if you will, God's word, to their perspective and not the totality of the word. I get it. And, you know, when you're, and it's a little intimidating to go talk to your pastor about the personal stuff that you got going on. It's intimidating. I'm not going to lie.
Exactly.
You know, so I totally get where you're coming from. And, you know, what I found interesting was is in one of my marriages, I'll just say that in one of my marriages, as long as she was driving when we went to counseling, it was okay. But the moment I requested counseling, it was, oh, no, I'm not doing that. No, this is over. I'm done. Hold on. So let me get this right. So you can drive when you want to go to counseling, but the moment I suggest it, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get what you're saying. I appreciate your perspective on this because not too many are able to offer this kind of insight or be willing and open to share. So I appreciate you doing that. Now, I am excited to hear your piece. Would you like to talk about your piece a little bit before we, you know what? What I'm going to do is, never mind, I'm going to have you let you go ahead and do your piece. What I'll do is after the three of you do your pieces, I'm going to open the three of you up so that you can talk about your pieces together. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the mic belongs to Ms. VIP at this time. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Lover's design. This pattern was woven into the fabric of my design, and the imprint of his technique challenged my mind to resurrect some emotions long lost. He has a way with giving me what I need at all costs. The threading of his beauty shaped and formed a bond truly, truly breathtaking, amazing. He shadowed me within his imperfections while just gazing into my eyes, reminding me of something I truly miss. Out of nowhere, his stitched permanence gave me a kiss, one that would create an out-of-body experience, emulating the breath of personified radiance. Mesmerizing is his ability to fold my desires in the deep places of his heart. The component of his strength, I never wish to depart, because he creates and created so much passion, the kind of passion I remember for a lifetime, creating this obsession. Just because he chose to hand stitch more of my heart's grand design, leaving this permanent mark for me to find exactly what I've been searching for, just a little more of what life has to offer as he's my embroiderer, using every single hand technique as his personal decoder. To unlike those designs I had thought were forever hidden, he showed me I'm no longer forbidden as he fashioned me. Into his love he wear forever as we just fall into this lover's design and horizontally cross every line. And this is from the mind of poetic. In peace.
Wow. Beautiful. Man, we're going to have to reach out to that writer. Yeah, that was beautiful. I love that piece. How do you feel about the piece?
I just felt like I'm in love. I'm in love again. And I can't believe I'm in love because he took what I had and made so much more of it. And I just loved it. So this was good. Apropos,
awesome.
Very
apropos.
Thank you.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Before I send over to the VIP lounge, tell everybody what you got going on.
Ooh, well, Wednesday, La Perla Negra and I hopefully will be in the love zone with a topic that will make you say, So, we don't know which one it is yet. And then on alternate Fridays, we have Express Your Vibe. And that is with my phenomenal co-host, Poetic. And we have a good time. Because people come as they are. They don't suppress it. They express it. But we love it. And that's it.
Indeed. All right. Now listen, don't get too tipsy on the champagne that I've imported from Paris, okay? Because I want to bring you back. after the other two pieces, I'll bring you back so that the three of you ladies can discuss and we can talk. So stick around.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, Miss VIP, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Wow. Man, amazing, amazing, amazing. So we've heard from the L in LES. How about we hear from the E, which is erotic? And she is the 1/4 host of the Soul Cafe, 1/2 host of the Love Zone, and 1/2 host of Poetic Therapy, y'all. She is La Pearl, La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Dan. How you doing? I'm going to try to get through this without having a coughing spell.
That's all right, love. We've been praying for you, hoping that you feel better. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, the topic. What do you think about the topic? Is couples therapy essential for maintaining a relationship? Do you think it should be something that we should institute within our union to make sure that we keep it healthy?
Okay. I'm going to start off by saying that most relationships turn into a mirror effect. What I mean by that is the more you pour into it, the more you are likely to get in return. And if you have that good relationship where you really aren't having too many issues, I don't see a need for it, but I absolutely push for it if it has gotten to the point where you can't find a resolve for your issues and arguing and separation issues. I definitely recommend it. The only thing with that is the married couples that I came to know throughout my lifetime, especially after I got married, because y'all know my story. My husband is very controlling. He would only allow me to be around married couples. A lot of people, one or the other, refuses to go. And a lot of times it's the men because they feel like they're kind of adopting feminine sensibilities, or it's deemed as a sign of weakness because they're the provider. They're the ones that are pretty much the head of the relationship, and they don't want to have to admit that maybe that they might, you know, be held accountable for some of the problems that have developed, some of their wife's issues, and her unhappiness. But you know what? It all goes back to, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. I was just saying, okay, continue your thought.
You know, people have to, they have to fall in love with themselves first. If I had gotten that counseling, that premarital counseling before I agreed to marry my husband or even just marry him, it's kind of like a heads up, because you get to hear certain things, you get to see certain actions within a person that you probably don't see until after you take the plunge. And it's more than likely something that you really don't agree with or don't care for. Like, after we got married, my husband insisted on addressing me as wife of mine instead of Danielle. And I'm like, who is this people talking to? Who is he talking like that? You know what I mean?
Oh,
I'll be downstairs, I'll be in the kitchen or tending to the babies or something. Wife of mine. What? Who is he? He's not going to bump his head or something, you know? And there were also a lot of ways he started addressing me that was not very nice after we got married.
Crazy, because I think the ultimate addressal of, I feel like for real I just made up a word, y'all, addressal. The ultimate addressal of my wife or wife of mine, what better way to make it more personal than Mrs. Meadows. I can't think of a better way. You know, that shows a sign of respect and reverence as well to you, indicating, listen, woman, yeah, you my wife. You carry my last name. And but I think that's the, oh my God. Man, we get it wrong so much. Go ahead, continue, Tanya.
Okay, when you say Mrs. Meadows, that's different. That is different. But the way my husband was addressing me was like all the time, wife of mine, and it was his tone. A lot of times it's not what you say, it's how you say it, how you project it to that person. And the way he was doing it was not cool. It wasn't cute. It wasn't funny. It wasn't attractive at all. It didn't make me smile or say, oh, he just loves me so much. No, it wasn't like that. Maybe if he'd have said it in a loving way and not such a controlling way, his way, his whole point of the relationship was to dominate me, to control me. But I didn't figure that out until way later in the relationship. Early in the relationship and midway through my relationship, I didn't see it. I just was like, it wasn't that I didn't speak up. It became a very combative thing with us.
Until I
figured out, you know what, this is no good. This is not going to work. Me giving him word for word, I'm going to just shut up because I know what he's doing now. I'm going to let him think he got control of me, but I'm not going to do this anymore with him. It's stressful.
Absolutely.
But, you know, because a lot of people get into a relationship and they're doing things expecting something to be returned to them instead of just going ahead and doing it just because you love them.
Sure.
And they are not doing it with a purpose. They're not loving intentionally. They're doing it because it's for selfish reasons.
Right.
Another
and you know,
thing is, people, go ahead.
That a relationship is supposed to be harmony, right? You know, we do these things to get into the relationship. We pursue, we date, we court, we do all of these things, and then once we have this quote unquote relationship, we stop. We stop and we turn into something else. Like, I'm like, hold on. Can you show me this person before I say I want to get into a relationship with you? This is why I really, really take my time to evaluate people, because my time is valuable. And if I'm going to be in a relationship with you, I need to know all of you before I say we're going to be in this relationship. I need to know all of you. I need to see you. I need to know who you are. I need to understand your flaws. I need to know all of this. So I'm willing to take the time to just be your friend as long as it takes. And if that's not enough for you, then clearly you were not the one for me to begin with. Because even after we get into this relationship, we still have to be friends. It is important.
Absolutely.
It is imperative. We have to be friends. So,
absolutely. Oh yeah.
Now
I agree with that.
You know, I haven't heard you on the mic this week doing poetry, hosting, you know, like I know you want to. So I'm excited for this time right now for you to be the erotic in this group. Are you ready to do your piece? La Perla Negra.
I hope I can get through this thing. I really didn't, because I've been stressed out in here and feeling like crap, I really didn't get a chance to, like, read it. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try and get through this for y'all. Just be patient with me. Okay?
All right. All right. Take all the time that you need. But right now, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Fingers of pleasure and ecstasy. He merely wanted to run his fingers through my locks so that the gods would know he feasted on more than just my wet box. In fact, He used liquidified ambrosia to turn me into his personal goddess of fantasia. As he sang to me while strumming my heart with his words, and his hands danced upon my scalp, stimulating non-spoken verbs, just pure actions as the oils of his fingertips remind me of how sensually erotic his lips grip. All the royalty in my body. Every single curve is commanded at his attention to guide me into the ultimate bliss of euphoric, mind-blowing tantric. Communication in the Kama Sutra of grazing my scalp, sending my pleasure senses into the top of the Swiss Alps. My entangled, stressed climaxes upon the gentleness of his touch, and he relaxes me into this place no man has ever made me dream of. My own was screaming for his touch, but he was patient, and I wanted him so much. He worked his hands through every one of my dreads. My soul was begging as he massaged my head. Damn, can he just be mine? His hands were more intoxicating than pure wine. My panties soaked with anticipation, nipples hard with gratification, and all he did was touch me upon my crown. And I oozed from excitement as he released what was bound. Ecstasy. Extreme ecstasy. From the mind of poetic. That's their piece.
My gracious. My gracious. Ooh, that was so hot and steamy. Ooh. All he did was touch your crown. Man. Kudos to that writer, man. I wish I'd have wrote that.
Oh yeah. You did that. I can't really laugh. My sides hurt from there from coughing.
I'm trying to keep you from giggling because I know. But you definitely did that piece justice. Amazing. This piece was so exquisite, so delicious. And you definitely read it. Oh, man. Whew, how did you feel about the piece?
Yo, I feel like you've been listening to my poetry for real. this was spot on. This was really, really good. This was really good. Like, okay, all right. Somebody's been paying attention. Okay. Yeah, this is a dynamite piece.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I am going to bring you back because I want to talk to the three of you together about your pieces. But the security team said that they got some rub they want to rub you down in. You know, they got some aloe vera. They got some cocoa butter. You know, they just have all of these things to try and help you heal. So I told them tonight I don't want no stuff from them. They can borrow you for a few moments, but then I'm going to need you back, okay?
Okay.
All right, so one love, one mic. Go grab your glass of that Paris champagne and stick around.
One love, one mic.
Before you go, nope, no coughing.
What?
I rebuke that cough in the name of Jesus. Rebuke it.
Oh, Lord. Uh-oh.
But what do you have going on?
Oh, okay. Well, next Saturday, I will be in Poetic Therapy co-hosting with Dan the Man Phillips. And y'all come on in there and relieve some mental stress through some healthy conversation and some open mic poetry. Monday night, I am 1/4 host of the Neo Soul Cafe, and I'll be in there co-hosting with the CEO of Epiphany Radio, Author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas, especially Jeremy, who does an amazing job with the event page, and Poetic. Now, y'all come on in there because you're really going to enjoy the second half of the show, where we do a segment called Pick Up Your Pen, and that helps you tap into your creative side. Y'all right, excuse me. Wednesday night, I am co-hosting with my sexy diva, Miss D.I.T., in the Love Zone. Now, I don't have a topic of discussion yet, but my wheels are turning, and I'm sure you guys will like it. I'm sure you're going to love it, actually. So y'all come on over there Wednesday night at 9 and get caught up in the Love Zone. And back to you, man.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Now, go on over to that VIP lounge, and we will be pulling you back very shortly. All right?
All right.
One love, one mic. All right, fellas, she's on her way. Let me just yell that now so that, you know, y'all can get that out the way. Let me yell it now since she's, you know, she's under the weather, so I'm going to yell it for her. All right, next up on the mic, y'all, we have the S in LES. She is 1/4 host / event page hostess of the Soul Cafe. She is affectionately known here as essentially Janice. Hey, darling, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to hear you. How's your day going?
Today's been pretty good. Yeah.
Good,
today's been
good.
Pretty good.
I'm glad to hear it. Now, essentially, tell me something. Couples therapy. Do you think that it's necessary or important to maintain a healthy relationship? Should it be an added component to something that we do as a couple on a regular basis, once a month, a couple times, maybe once a week? You know, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
So, I do think it's very important. The frequency varies, of course. A lot of what you all have been saying so far, I agree with. And a lot of the points that you've made, I would emphasize that it has to be with someone who's impartial, someone who doesn't know either person personally. Because the only experience I've had with couples therapy was in a religious setting. So it was someone who, like, actually knew me since I was a baby. I found myself in a room full of men and just me. And we were there to discuss one thing, and my ex found a way to segue into a conversation about intimacy, knowing that that would make me uncomfortable. And I felt like there were things about my background that only he knew, and that he knew affected me emotionally. So I felt like therapy was being used as a weapon in my experience. But I know that it's beneficial. It was not for me because of the setting. And regardless, I'm open to it. I just haven't had, I haven't had that experience yet. I think it's important to check in weekly with each other. I read something not too long ago where, I think it was just a recommendation that a couple has like a once a week check-in and just talk about how their week went, how do you feel emotionally. I think that's important. As far as professionally, I think that it should be, you don't have to wait for something to be wrong. The same way for our physical health, we go in and get checkups, regardless of whether or not we feel well. I think our emotional health should be treated the same way. You go in and get checked out. Make sure that you're good individually. Make sure that you're good as a couple.
Okay. I agree with that. In some cases, we have communication barriers, and we can't have that weekly check-in without one of us blowing up. Maybe we need a couples therapy session on how to communicate better with each other.
Especially if you recognize that's an issue and a barrier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, to those that would use therapy as a weapon, it's really doing a discredit to the act itself. When therapy is about healing, it's about healing. It's about helping. And it's essential and important. As I stated already, like I'm one of those men who I ain't going to no therapy. I ain't telling nobody my business. But I also know that it's necessary for the components of healing within the relationship, especially when there's been damage. So I no longer sing that tune. But I really, really thank you for sharing. And I appreciate your openness and honesty because that had to be a rough spot for you to see it as to be used as a weapon like that.
Yeah, there's more, but I'm an inbox person, not really a here's all my details person on air, but
Absolutely, I do. Now that we've gotten the first part out of the way, I understand that you have a piece of poetry. Since you are the sensual one in this group, LES, y'all, Epiphany's own LES. Forget SWV. We got our own group. But are you ready to share your piece?
I am.
All right. The mic is yours.
The color of his scent. The color of his scent traced the inner linings of my nostrils. The rage of his passion has me fearful. Fearful that I may fall in love with the hue of his essence, spawning a rainbow of colors pleasing to my fragrance of him. Just as I become green with envy, the lights go dim. I'm reminded of the smell of his vibrancy, compelling me to discover a scent of redness of my own efficiency. Arguing with the absorption of his musk into my very pores, admiring his ebony husk, wondering if he'll ever secrete himself all over me, not just inside me, his aroma forcing me to recognize his blues, his scent so strong I taste his residuals and I simply refuse to be denied of his smell. My God, his smell. I know his obsession can just tell that I'm overly attracted to his masculinity that creates his divinity within his mocha fragrance that calls me from the deep stage of a sensual trance. The color of his scent traced the inner linings of my nostrils and the power of his crimson element made me powerful to drip my colors onto his palette. My urges became the finest paintbrush, and I let my emotions grab his dark blackness to suck me in and pull me out to bear witness of his colorful energy, so vivacious. Enough to make me feel the aroma of his mental yellow banana peel, just so he could steal my sense of color from me for his favorite meal. I told you, the color of his scent traced the inner linings of my nostrils and the multiverse of colors made me spill. Yeah, made me spill. From the mind of Poetic.
Oh, my God. This was beautiful. This was very sensually visual. My God, you brought these words to life in a whole different way. My God. Oh, my God. Yes, Lord, yes. Whew. Okay. How did you feel about that?
Listen, as soon as I read this, I thought about that conversation when I shared, I think we were on air, and I read something where I was explaining my creative headspace. That's what it was. And I was saying that when I'm locked into an emotion, I see color. And when I read this, I was like, you remember it. I was like, you remember this conversation, and I knew this was for me. So, yeah, I loved it.
Absolutely.
It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. These colors make sense to me.
Absolutely. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you tackled it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring back the other two members of LES, Ms. VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Ladies, welcome back. How you doing?
Hey, hey.
Now, no, I'm
gonna tell you, ladies.
Hey. You outdid yourself, man. I'll tell you that much.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, do y'all have any idea how hard it is to understand who you are as a poet? And then be able to write in your voice. Do you know how hard that is? And y'all have three different amazing styles. And it's one thing to ghostwrite for someone, but it's another thing to ghostwrite and pay attention to how you respond, what you say, the words that you use, and the things that you like, right? So I tapped into one of you. I said, you know what? I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to see where it goes. Ms. VIP is all about love. Love is her thing. She loves love. She just, oh, God, she exudes love, right?
Yeah.
And Danielle, she's erotic, but she's sensually erotic.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you start messing with her hair, oh, baby, it's over.
Oh, God. It's true. It's true.
And essentially, Janice, she's so shy. She's so shy. But when she recites, it's so powerful. And I know how she feels about colors and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, attention when you talk about color and emotions. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've known you for so long. How could I not write something like this for you? How could I not?
Yeah.
You got me. Y'all are amazing. I was just honored that y'all allowed me to do this for you. Kudos to y'all. And those are y'all's pieces. Those are y'all's pieces. So
thank
do what
you
will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all so much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be able to do that. I know me and J-Rob and Mojave joke about who writes who pieces, but this is truly an honor to be able to write for the three of you and then to hear you recite these in the fashion that you did. Oh, my God. Y'all had me over here like, oh, yes.
Oh, that's
you ladies killed it. Thank y'all so much. Janice, let everybody know what you got going on Monday night.
On Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the Soul Cafe, hosted by For Real the Poet Douglas, a.k.a. author Larry Maddox, poetic. And La Pearl La Negra, we will be featuring your poetry. So we'll get to hear some more of these gems in our voices. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll be hanging out on the event page and in live chat on Blog Talk Radio. So please make sure you come through.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, please hit these Divas Up, also now known as LES. Y'all know y'all stuck with this, right? Y'all know y'all stuck. We're going to do an album. SWV. Who? What? We're going to do it. But get on over there to that VIP lounge. Grab y'all some bubbly, some of that imported champagne from Paris. One love, one mic, and I appreciate y'all. And I love y'all so much for doing this.
Thank you. One love, one mic.
Take y'all socks off, baby. Wow. Did y'all hear that poetry? Did y'all hear what they did with that poetry? Oh, my God. Didn't they sound amazing? I can't wait to hear the playback. I'm going to play it back, like, several times to hear them. But that was amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned into Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, let's talk about it, where we do date night differently. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. The dial-in number, if you're listening in online and you desire to get in on this conversation, on this wonderful night of poetry, 319-527-6300, and by all means, please press 1. The topic of the evening, couples therapy. Should it be a regular thing in your relationship so that you are maintaining a healthy relationship together? What are your thoughts? How do you feel about it? Let's talk about it. Next up, we got Epiphany's own host of War Council, Fly Speak, Honey Drippers 2.0, War Council. Man, he's got so many shows. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that good stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, we call him Iron Man, a.k.a. Mojave. What's up, huh?
What's happening?
What's happening, bro? Doing pretty good, man. How you feeling?
I'm chilling. I was trying to find something to play on in between. I found it. Anyway, yeah, no. LES, huh?
LES, bro.
Now you got to make up shirts.
You already know. And listen, man, did you hear them? Did you hear those pieces, man? How did you feel about their pieces, man?
Well, I don't know. My boxer jaws started, like, you know, slapping certain things on my body, and it was doing some strange things, and it was like, let me go. And I was like, no, you got to stay home. We're in public. And he was like, no, let me go. Let me go. I got to go see Elliot. I got to go see him. Oh, my God. He was doing this whole fan thing. He was jumping around, screaming. I was talking to my blood. My blood was just rushing in different pieces. I was like, God, man, this is terrible. He's just inciting internal riots. Of arousal.
Wow. Well,
that should be a piece. Exciting internal riots of arousal. Ooh.
Yes, sir, man.
Jot it down. You know, I might have to do that. That sounds like something good. I got the next line, too. It's going to be great. Yeah.
What's the question?
What's the question?
Bro, so, couples therapy, man. Do you think that it should be a regular in your relationship to maintaining a healthy relationship with your partner? You know, similar to, like, you know, Your cell phone bill once a month. You pay that religiously because you like to be able to have access to communication with the world and everybody else and so forth. So,
oh, it comes out automatically. I don't even look at it.
Right. We're not even playing that game. We're not even playing that game. Like, I got mine for automatic as well. I mean, we're not even playing that game. Like,
we taking the money here. I was bugging out. I was like, man, listen, they be talking to me. They was like, you can watch Suicide Squad for free on your phone. I was like, really? Oh,
really?
Man, I just need money.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so nice. Well, we're taking the money. Yeah.
We're taking the money. Right,
to answer
right,
your
right.
question. To answer your question, couples therapy, most people think that therapy is going to see someone professional, which you can do, which is always helping to shore things up. But you can also be each other's therapy, be good sounding boards, be active listeners, and participation in good conversation that helps to grow the relationship the way it's supposed to. It could also be the things that you do that you invest in the quality of your time to make sure that you're always connected to each other. And those things can also happen. Therapy can also be doing something that will ensure that you guys have a good laugh, that you guys also maintain healthy boundaries, but also have certain places that you can interconnect and be interdependent and not codependent on each other. So I think it's something that you should do. You should have a date night. You should have time where you separate everything so you're not talking about bills and bullshit and Sally on your job to stay in your business and Johnny that won't get on, you know, get out of yours. And, you know, you got to find those things that are going to help that. And sometimes also talking to a professional is one of those things that help keep people even, because a lot of times people don't talk about the problems they have because the other partner's not listening. The other partner refuses to listen and just wants to be right because they feel somehow that someone, you know, one of the partners, oh, you're always going to downplay this or anything else like that. There's many different ways to look at therapy and the different formats that it has, you know. So, yeah, I think it's recommended. I think it's good.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. And you know what? You made a great point. You said that it doesn't always have to be with a professional person. This is true. I don't know if you posted it in our group or somebody else posted it in our group, but there was this couple who said that they take time to spiritually heal their relationship together once a month, and it makes their sex life amazing as a couple. I mean,
the TikTok clip. And they stare at each other, and then they take the time to connect to each other during that time, which allows them to do everything else, which keeps them on one accord, you know.
Oh, my God. That was so amazing, man. That was so amazing. And I think that if we can get to that level as a couple that we're doing that kind of thing without having to want to just always rush into the act itself, let's sit there for a moment. Mm-hmm. Let's look at each other. Let's enjoy that energy that surrounds us, that our bodies are emitting towards each other. Bro, that was amazing. I promise you, man, all the stuff that I'm seeing now, that I'm learning now about myself and what I like and what I don't like, my next relationship is going to be, it's going to be through the roof.
It's going to be through the roof. Hey, listen, that's what it comes. I was like, man, the weird thing is that when people ask me about marriage, I'm like, I'm a marriage dude, but I don't want to be married. But I said, whoever gets me to consider to walk down that path, they're going to be stinking amazing. They're going to be everything else, because, you know, like, I'm already, like, happy as a person. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times people, they're not happy with themselves, or they have a lack, they have something that's missing, something that wasn't really addressed. They have some roots and some childhood trauma, you know, there's something that's there, and it comes in and influences the idea of their relationships. And so, to me, you know, I can recognize when I see someone who's going to be a friend of my soul, who's going to do things.
Right.
And what inspired me last night, what inspired me last night is, so I'm going to marry this couple off 2 Thursdays from now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the crazy thing about it is when I ask some questions, because, you know, like, I'm also writing their wedding poem, right? And it's real deep. And so I needed to ask some questions because, you know, I take the idea of creating a wedding poem very seriously, like, not just the shoot at, you know, even the stuff that I'm working on, I've not said another word, you know, because there's some works that you don't do. But literally, when this brother said, he said, "She's my peace," and smiled. Mm. Oh, man. I said, oh, it touched me in such a special way. I can't even tell you, because, you know, because we as men, like, and he was like, when I was talking, he picked up right where I left off. I said, to hear someone say that, and he's like, yeah, my ex, you know, so you come to it, he's just getting at you. He's like, she knows I need to come in. I need some time to myself. And then I come in, and he's like, I place her first, you know, because making her happy makes me happy, right? You know, but the thing was, like, the way he said that she knows how to let him, you know, disconnect, get right, and then come back, and then basically give loving intonation and, you know, intention towards him and everything else that gives him peace, that allows him to relax and do everything, and they work in conjunction with each other. It's not you do this, do that. It's like, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't do it,
right,
you do it. Like, but the idea of peace. He's like, he said, we as African-American men go out here into this world, and we got to fight this. And he's like, I don't want to fight this war at home. And he said, and she knows that. So she's my peace. And the way he smiled when he said it, I was like, oh. I said, man, listen. Man.
I know that's right, man.
That's the secret. That's the, be his peace. You know, well, actually, let me amend that. Be his freak and be his peace. That part.
Don't leave that part out. Please don't leave that part out.
You gotta leave that in there. You know, you gotta keep it spicy.
You got to.
Like, keep it spicy. It's crazy because, people sleep on peace. They sleep on it. Like some people just need conflict because it's passionate or they feel that. But, you know, when you have people who just, like, just any little thing because they're aggravated or missing something because they haven't addressed those things within themselves, it's crazy. And you see it. But, man, you're right. Like, you know, the person that brings peace to you is like, it's like my boy Omari, right? So Tariq, because so Tariq secretly got married. Secretly, like, and he's like, well, it really wasn't a secret. I just didn't tell you. I said, then that's a secret. But anyway, but he's silly like that. But
right.
Literally, like my brother did the same thing. My brother just sent me thing. Oh, I'm getting married. He didn't say nothing about nothing else. Didn't meet her. Did he's like, listen, I like who I like, and this is what I'm doing. This and truth be told, like you know, he put his wedding photo shoot out. You do old school hip hop.
Wow.
I was like, man.
Oh, wow.
I said, this is crazy. Yeah. Nah, this is crazy, but this is what people are doing. And he's the similar. He's like, she's exciting in every sense of the word to him. You know, and he said, you know, like, not in the sense of like a sensual sense, but like the idea of having someone that excites your mind when you talk to them, you know, the person that you can have real deep conversations with, you know, all that stuff is good. And that's therapy too. Being able to have long talks, long, well-meaning talks that connect you emotionally to each other, that give you that spiritual awareness of each other's personality and character. Amazing.
Yes, sir. Ooh, man. Ain't nothing like it, man. Ain't nothing like it. Man, all right, now that we've gotten that out of the way, my brother, are you ready to drop your piece on us?
Yeah, but it's not going to be all some love stuff. I'm going to do some love tomorrow.
It don't have to be.
We can do sweet as honey. But don't forget, War Council, we're going to talk about trauma. Trauma bounding, trauma dumping, trauma families, you know, and then healing from trauma and addressing the issue, you know, the elephant in the room. We're going to talk about trauma. It's going to be an open conversation. We're going to put it all out there. We're going to leave it all on the floor. Be prepared. It's going to be a super deep conversation. And, you know, if you come to show up, you know, bring yourself, but don't try to dominate the conversation because I'm timing people because I know certain people, they're going to be pouring out. We're going to pour in, and it's going to be a lot of Kool-Aid man saying, oh, yeah, busting through walls and stuff like that. It's going to be great.
I love it.
Let me get to this piece.
All right, the mic is yours, bro.
Okay, hold on for a second. Here we go. Just tell me if this is too loud. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
All right. When you lost it, did the memory of it grow bright, bright enough to cloud the corner of your eyes, pushing pain into precipitation? Did the taste of it harken you back to late night lo mein and egg foo young, hot enough to burn your tongue after lovemaking sessions that fulfilled hunger for everything carnal but luck your body spent? Did it remind you of the smell of hair and night sweat on a July night too hot to make love but you held each other anyway? Did it remind you of the distance, the space between hugs, the microns of space between lips, the heart that misses but on contact feels the intimacy returns? When you lose your light, when you lose your way, when you stand in the dark and your path has gone astray, do you miss it at all? Do you remember when forever was not far and we lived for today? Nothing even mattered, come what may, but we lose it. And we grow tired, And when your heart is so big and it can't take no more, when you no longer spread as wide and your long hug can no longer rise from the floor, you can no longer care, and tears tear at the essence of the skin you wear, that life feels shallow and you cannot bear. You cannot see, blinded by reality, you would draw closer to me. Sobs are a plea, ask you once more, and yet I cannot endure another episode of grief. It steals my joy like a thief, waiting for the dawn of the morn to bring relief. And I ask you not for my heart, but for the joy that was so brief. Like love and happiness has now turned to beef, and the only reason, my sole reason, is belief that we will one day come to agree. That our fear will flee, and happiness will exchange in our gaze, and we'll just be happy. No worry, no more of settling emotional scores, or reopening our past spiritual wounds that are festering like sores. I ask you only of love and to hear that tune. Much like a mother's heartbeat to a baby laying in the womb, I ask you to consider what it would be like if you opened your soul to me. That may reside and stay with thee. I just want to be. I just want to see what it could be with you and me. So I don't know where to shoot, so I carry my heart in buckets that resembles pockets, so that mint and my heart have something in common, that they both know what it feels like to be empty. I no longer hear the music of antiquated sounds of an opera that has vacationed near my heart, drinked in the cool of my soul and bathed in the heat of my passions. What reminder, what pocket of sunlight to be pulled from a rainy day, what cheer to be the fear, what love instead to hold dear. We're mere mortals, bones, skin, heart, feelings but caught up in less than living, giving ourselves to a baseless desire, when we are pulled thin to the wire, just to hear you speak to me, quietly, gently. To hear you say goodbye. To watch me walk you through the door. And you say, you are nothing special. Poem.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. My bro. Bro, this was sadly beautiful. Sadly beautiful. But I felt it. I felt it.
Thank you.
Bro, this was an amazing piece, man. This, I think this is the second time I heard this piece. And each time, this time, it has a different feeling for me. It actually breaks my heart. Bro.
Phenomenal. Don't break nobody's heart.
Phenomenal ink.
Don't break nobody's heart, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Bruh. Just amazing, bro. Just amazing. And, you know.
I know. Sorry.
He said he wasn't going to come here and do no love stuff, y'all. That's what he said. That's what he said. But I heard it.
We ain't doing no love stuff.
But dope, bro. Hey, man, let everybody know. I know you did it already, but let them know, man. What's popping off, man, this coming Tuesday?
I'm trying to tell you, man, but let me just read the description. Of the description. Hold on. Let me get this right. So, hey, join us on August 10th, 2021 at 9 p.m. as we discuss trauma in its myriad forms, from bonding to relationships and more. War Council is an egalitarian, conscious, creative panel that discusses and dialogues around community issues, relationships, and current events that affect the black community. Here on Epiphany Radio Universe, call in at 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard, or stream in at www.blogtalkradio.com/I see people. Here, hashtag Race Epiphany Radio Universe, hashtag Your Poetry Alchemy, hashtag A For Real Entertainment Network, hashtag Poetry, hashtag Poets on Instagram, Poets of Everywhere, Poets Anywhere You Want to Get It. Take your socks off, a baby.
My man, I can't wait, bro. I can't wait. Looking forward to it, man. Thank you so much, Javi, for being transparent and giving us that beautiful but sad peace. Now get on over there to that VIP lounge, man. Grab you a glass of bubbly. Say what's up to LES over there, just chilling.
No, I'm going over there. I'm just dancing in the middle of them, act like I'm a G. Let me go dance in the middle of LES, act like I'm a G, do my little dance. Oh, so.
I know that's right.
All right.
All right, bro. One love, one mic. Take right. It packed off.
One love, one mic. All right. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our brother Mojave on his way to the VIP lounge, not the dance floor. That was Thursday night. This let's talk about it during date night. And we're going to go from Epiphanies, Mojave, to Epiphanies. Ooh, Rain. Hey, Rain. How you doing, love? Rain, are you muted? Okay. We'll give her a hot second until she's ready. In the meantime, let's have my man give us a musical interlude.
There's nothing left but the truth, baby. Can't forget about the love. I'd rather add to the fumes, baby. Ain't no fire stopping us. Even when we say we're done, I always tell you you're the one. And everybody thinks we're crazy,
and they're probably right.
Tempers start to flaring up every time that we erupt. Baby, 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 baby,
that's what real love's like. 'Cause we just keep going up, keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
There's nothing else that I can do, baby.
'Cause we just keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
But keep on burning up with you, baby. Smoke be filling up the room, baby. Suffocated by your love. I can't breathe without you, baby. I die before I give it up. Even when we say we're done, I always tell you you're the one. And everybody thinks we're crazy,
and they're probably right.
Start to flaring up every time that we erupt. Baby, 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 baby,
that's what real love's like. 'Cause we just keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
There's nothing else that I can do, baby.
'Cause we just keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
But keep on burning up with you, baby. Nothing else that I can do, baby.
'Cause we just keep going up,
we keep going up in flames. But keep on burning up with you, baby.
Keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
There's nothing else that I can do, baby.
'Cause we just
keep going up, we keep going up in flames.
All right, all right. Thank you so much for that 1111 Flames. We're going to go to Gina Storm. Hey, Gina, how are you? Gina, are you
muted? Oh, my goodness, Poetic. All I can say is this. I say this, I feel like every night of the week that y'all always have a mic when I need to speak. So all I can say is thank you, Epiphany Universe, for making this a possibility 7 nights a week.
Absolutely. Thank
you. I may not
thank
always
you.
Be available. I may not always have a piece to spit, but I always need to hear poetry. And the availability is 7 days a week. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. It's good to hear you. You know how we do doing date night differently.
Let's
you
talk
know
about
how
date night
do.
Differently. You know I cut my teeth Wait. Over here, so this is my jam.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So listen, let's go ahead and let's jump right into it. Let's just jump right into it. Couples therapy. Should it be a regular thing in maintaining a healthy relationship? Like 12 times a year, once a month, should we be going to couples therapy just like we pay our bills, just like we go to the doctor? What you think? Should we include that, incorporate that into us? What you think? Let's talk about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And the reason I say so is because I've been in couples therapy on more than one occasion, not just in my two marriages. Because everybody knows, like you, married and divorced twice. So when you have two ex-spouses, you sometimes feel like, maybe it's me. But I look back on couples therapy and recognize and appreciate this from both of my ex-husbands. Even though I loved them with every fiber of my being during the time that we were wed and prior to us getting married, I never thought that we would have problems that would be magnified to the point where couples therapy was a necessity. We did, however, have premarital counseling, like Sunny said. I call my two ex-husbands, Moses and Solomon, first and second biblical. Each of them and I believe that couples therapy was a necessity and that we needed to find out whether or not we were compatible and or evenly yoked before we jumped the broom.
Right.
So it wasn't like we walked into marriage with our eyes wide shut. We knew what we were going into. What we failed to realize is that people change over time. It's called evolution. And sometimes you move in a different direction than your spouse. And it's not that you no longer love them. It's just that the relationship no longer serves you. Or that person is not giving you what you need. Or there's a lack someplace that hasn't been resolved. But whatever the situation is, because in my first marriage, I had to go, it was court mandated, to anger management twice. And this is what I realized. Having been a granddaughter and daughter of women who had been abused by their spouses, my stance when it came to that physical abuse was this. Tragedy is not me, I fight. But you shouldn't be in a love relationship with a person that you have to actually physically fight with. Or that person should not be abusing you verbally, nor should you be doing the same. And if love isn't being served at the table, you should get up from the table and put your chair away and say simply, this isn't where I need to be. I mean, it's nothing against you, but I have to save me from this because it's toxic. And until you recognize that or you say that to your spouse, even if it's at the end of the relationship, the reality is this. Somebody might get hurt. Sometimes somebody dies when you don't recognize the warning signs, the red flags, the abuse, the narcissism, things that make it an impossibility to remain married. And with my second husband, when I married him, my daughter was an adult, and I was a grandmother. And he said he could be a stepfather to my daughter and, what do you call it, and papa to my granddaughter. And then my second granddaughter came along a couple of months after his son was born. And that came with an anchor of baby mama drama that wasn't mine. And all I can say is, not my monkey or my circus. I'm out. Look, because I told you if you wanted to have children, you should marry somebody younger. My eggs are old.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it wasn't possible for me to have a child. What I'm saying is it wasn't probable. What I needed to do was focus on me because I had an adult child that I had raised past adulthood and a granddaughter who was almost a year old when we met. So what he needed to understand was I was in a different place in my life. I was 7 years his senior. I didn't want to rob him of the possibility of being a parent, but I also needed him to understand that I did not want to become a new parent, nor did I want to partake in baby mama drama. You know what I used to tell people all the time? They were like, what happened with your second marriage? I blinked and you were divorced. Oh, yeah. So I was a newlywed when my husband became a new dad, and I didn't hump man hump to make that baby be here. So that wasn't my problem. It's his. And since, like, in the last month and a half, he had twin girls with someone else. You know what I was thinking? If I was still married to you, I'd be wearing an orange jumpsuit. So the reality is this. Sometimes, no, for real, you can laugh if you want to. These ain't jokes.
Oh, trust me. I know. You know. I know.
Me.
I'm laughing.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
I know.
I will put you in your throat first and ask questions later. So
ask questions later.
I don't need to be in a in a love relationship that makes me have to pray for you afterwards. I need to pray for you continuously. And if I feel like I'm being preyed on, then I'm a victim. And I've been one before. So I know what that feels, looks, smells, and things like. The reality is this. If this is what you think it is, pop. You don't believe it, let him prove it to you. And my thought is this. I know Fat Man is crazy, so I'm not putting myself in harm's way ever. So even if I never get married again, I do know this about me. Before you jump the broom, have counseling. And while you're newlyweds, continue
Absolutely.
To get to know each other. And if you feel
Absolutely.
Like you need someone on the outside who is impartial to help you put together what it is, if you're bringing baggage to the table, put it down. What did Erykah Badu say? Bag lady, you're going to miss your bus. Carrying all them bags around. Put them bags down. Board that bus. And ride to happiness with your next spouse. Because that is not his problem or his ministry. Nor is it his fault. And he should not be the solution. But the reality should be this. The person that you love has a clean slate. And the person who loves you needs to give you one as well. And if the two of you need to ever discuss something that is difficult for you to do on your own, seek professional help. Because the end result could be happily ever after. And that's my goal.
Absolutely. I love that. You know, since we're here, can we talk about it? Let's talk about it. You know, you said some very, very serious points here. I know for me, being married, I don't have a second, you know, a first and second biblical. I got, you know, first and second demons, but that's a whole other story. I think it's important that you have these kind of talks, whether with a third party, someone who's non-biased, because I recognize in the dating circle that some of the women that I've interacted with have presented mm-hmm. me with information that seems exactly like what I was married to. And while I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, the moment that I want to discuss it, it comes across as you're attacking my character, you're attacking me. Sis, calm down.
What they thought really
I'm just trying to have a conversation.
You.
Yeah, it's a
Absolutely.
Trigger for me, man.
No, because it's for you due to old trauma. And if they don't recognize that and know that you have to move beyond it, it's not their fault. But it's, oh, my goodness.
I had a trigger so bad, I shut down for a few days. I didn't even want to talk to the person. Like,
Absolutely.
I don't even want to talk to you.
Shut down.
Let me, Let me process.
In a love relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a love relationship shut down for a lot of people is a red flag. But the reality is this, they're saving you from them.
My God.
You allow them to have it. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Let me do this. I need to be over
here. You and me?
Be over there.
You and me.
When I get myself together,
I'm going right
to holler at you. Right.
We'll be in the show together right next to you talking about, hey, Tina,
look,
what you got tonight?
This thing comes from a place of anger or pain
right,
or hurt. It
right,
can't come from
right,
deja vu. You remind
right,
me of something that I've been through before. And if you remind me of something that I've been through before and that thing wasn't pleasant, it's not
oh
your
my
fault.
God. It's not your
but
phone.
It's definitely a red flashing light.
But it is
and
a
I need
red
to see
flag
over here because I'm scared.
Right,
I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying,
right,
to, I'm trying to protect me, and I don't want to hurt you.
And that's that
mm-hmm,
whole. That's the whole. Well, I'm not her. I'm not like that. No, I'm not. I don't do that.
Don't
I'm not going to. I'm not going to. What, girl? What? You know how many women? Let me tell you something. I am 47. I'm not 21.
Okay.
If I had percentage or fraction of my time back for every woman that told me that they not like that, they not them, and then they turn around and use
and
the same information that I gave them to hurt me in the process, boo-boo, come on. Come on.
And all you have to think is, oh, I didn't know ever to do this, baby. This, you know what? I know what toxic feels look like. I know what toxic sounds like and moves like. So this is toxicity. You're angry because somebody did you wrong, and you're
right,
projecting that wrong on me because I'm pulling away. I'm pulling away for safety's purpose,
mm-hmm,
not
yeah,
to harm you in any way.
Yeah.
This is protection.
Yeah.
You know, because you say this all the time.
You,
when
yeah,
God brings you out of a situation that was meant to be your demise, don't run back to it. So when you see something that feels, smells, and acts like something toxic in your past, all you can say is to the person, well, let's pump the brakes. We're going to stop right here. Put it in
park.
I had to actually see
one of my exes this week that I hadn't seen probably, I don't know how long, ex-wives, and we had to take care of a financial matter. And my daddy always say something like, well, that was your first wife, man. Maybe y'all should get back together. I said, Pop, I said, it ain't enough. It ain't enough therapy. It ain't enough counseling that could put she and I back together after what she took me through. I'm so sorry.
Nothing can help this.
I think if Jesus himself was to cut down and say, boy, I think I need you to go get back with that woman, I said, you might have to take me on home right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't do it. Can't do it.
The Lord, you got me confused with somebody else.
You got
do
you
this.
Definitely got me confused.
And
but,
if I do,
all right,
we'll both be, like I said, Orange is the New Black.
Right. Right. We in there together.
Save people from themselves. They don't even understand what they did to you. And what all they see is the good. And all you see is the bad. So the realities don't match. So a lot of times, backtracking doesn't work. But the reality is this. There is, my stepdaddy used to say this all the time. There's a lid for every old pot. And I was cooking for my grandchildren last night, and I put the top on the mac and cheese, and I put the top on the veggies because I was steaming them. I wanted to keep the mac and cheese hot because I was reheating it because I cooked it the day before. But, you know, it's always better the next day. So I was doing that. And I had baked the pork chops, and some of them I glazed in honey barbecue sauce, and the others I left plain. And all of the kids said that the meat was perfectly seasoned. And my thing is this, my parents and my siblings always thought that my taste buds were white. And they were like, do you ever use anything other than salt and pepper? I do. We don't ever taste the seasoning. You know what I was thinking? I won't do that again. So my thought was bringing to the table food that they're accompanied to and that they're used to. But I never did that in my marriages because I felt like I want you to be healthier. So I'm cooking things and seasoning them a certain way. I'm omitting salt and I'm using flavor. And they would always say,
I was Caucasian, and my thought is, this isn't racial. It's a necessity. I'm looking out for you.
Come on.
But
come on.
Who am I to say what you should eat and how you eat? My thought is this. I'm doing this for me, and I thought by proxy us. But if you don't see what it is I'm trying to do in the big picture, this conversation is mute. I'm wasting my breath, my time, my energy, and my recipes on you, because
exactly.
The whole purpose in life is to be happy. And when you're unhappy, nobody can make you happy except you. And even
that's
when
right.
You're married, sometimes your spouse is not that person. You have to recognize that for what it is.
Appreciate
that the opportunity and keep it moving. But if counseling can help you through it, by all means, do so. And if it cannot, divorce is an option. And it's a whole lot better option than wives with knives. So if you don't want me to, if you don't want me to stab you in your sleep, please know,
I'm
saving you from me. Real talk. I watched a lot of forensics.
No, that's right. Well, Gina, before we give away the forensic secrets, before we give it away, let's go ahead and get to the second part, because I need to hear your freestyle. I need to hear it. I need to get a piece of it. So I'm going to get out the way.
I didn't know what I was going to do. You are muting me. So all I can say to you is this, poetic. When it comes to me, it's going to come to you, because I didn't have the chance to give it any additional thought. I was so busy trying to answer the question in my head. So I'm going to title my freestyle, If Only. I remember a time in my life when my grandpapa used to say this, if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. I'm not even a drinker, so to speak. I mean, occasionally, I'll have a glass of wine or two. But to be honest with you, I medicate herbally. So as far as I'm concerned, if you want to give me a bouquet, it should have no stems and no seeds, because I like to roll it like it. Roll it, lick it, light it, and smoke it with ease. I just simply want to elevate myself to a higher place so that I have not to look down on you, but I have to see our situation with real eyes. People say that real eyes recognize real lies. And there have been times in my life when I was in a love relationship and I was hoodwinked and bamboozled. Then rocked to me. And I was led amok and astray. But this is what I know. Right now, in August, on the seventh day of 2021, I'm enough. And I don't need another to be complete. I don't have to be Mrs. Anybody. Because I'm still me. I don't have to be a queen. Straighten me my crown because I'm trying to please a king. No. I simply have to exist. Be who I was meant to be. Because there is a lid out there looking for the pot that is me. I don't feel like I'm in competition. I will not be second place or your next in line choice. I have to be your everything. Because that's the way I'm going to see you if you're with me. So once upon a time, a long time ago, I used to think that all I needed to do was let it flow. And then I realized that sometimes I was the problem and not the person I was tethered to. So I went to counseling, and I assure you, the reason being was because I'm not perfect. None of us are. I was doing my very best, and I wanted to, in your life, be the North Star. I wanted to guide you where you need to be so that your heart could leap with joy. And if I'm not that person for you, I assure you, there's somebody out there for you and will love you the way that you need to be. And I'm patient enough to allow that to begin in my life, be my reality. I didn't give up on love. There was a time when I didn't think that love loved me, but I know that it does eternally, because I'm trying to do what's right. My heart is wide open. My mind is receptive. My spirit is ready. I'm just not trying to be with somebody who wants me in the meantime, the in-between time, or all that they have left. I want you to give me the best of you. because that's what I'll do. And that's all I've ever wanted. The only thing in my life that I've never had was my happily ever after. And the reality is this, as long as we're tethered, if you're ever in a place where you feel like your voice is not being heard, tell me. I'll pause and listen and move forward with you in unity. Because sometimes we don't know all the answers, but we know where our help comes from. We can pray together, read scripture, go to counseling, and do whatever it takes for us to have forever. I'm Gina Storm. Thank you for indulging me. In peace.
Yes, yes, yes. Make sure your voice is heard. We pray together. Oh, man. Thank you, Gina. Thank you for this.
You're welcome, Joy. I told you, dating that is where I cut my teeth. Whether or not I'm in a relationship, if I'm single, if I'm mourning, if I'm happy, or between marriages, I still come here because I know the necessity. Real relationships have to include God. And if they don't, you're fooling yourself if you're not fooling your mate. So the reality is we all need help. We all need prayer. We all need counseling. That's the only way we're going to get there. I came tonight. I love you. One love, one mic.
Oh, man, I love you too. One love, one mic. Get over in that VIP. Grab you some bubbly.
I'm going to boogie. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina Storm. Wow. With that therapeutic word, let's bring in Epiphany's own Rain. Hey, Rain. How you doing, love?
Hey, Poetic, how are you?
I'm just fine, just fine. How about yourself?
I'm amazing. You're having a beautiful show. I've been listening.
Thank you so much. You guys are making it beautiful, and you're here to add to its beautifulness, so I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Always, you know. You know how we do.
Absolutely. Now, Rain, darling, 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 let's talk about it. Can we talk about it?
We can.
All right. Tell me something. Couples therapy. Should we indulge in couples therapy in our relationship so that we can maintain a healthy relationship for the duration of our relationship? What say you?
I actually need to echo something that both Janice and Mahavi said. I think that my experience with it was when I was married, and it was also in church. And it was with someone that knew me. But there was also, and I think you and I had this conversation, there was some alternative. I wanted out of the marriage, and I was in part of the leadership at church. And I think that there was a sidebar reason that the church did not want us to divorce, other than it being, you know, shunned upon in general, you know, being the church. So anyway, with that being said, that's my only experience with it. I think that they did not want their leadership to be divorced. So I think it's a healthy thing. I think that Janice had mentioned, you know, just like we go to the doctor, it's good to go when the relationship is healthy, to establish a baseline. So when you know that where there's issues and where there is work is needed. And then at the same time, I don't think that it has to be a professional, but I also think that it needs to be somebody that is impartial.
Agreed. I could agree with that.
That's my take on it. So they both captured, you know, exactly what I was thinking. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think someone that knows you can be biased in a couples therapy session. There's a certain air of bias, primarily because they know you, and that's why if I'm doing couples therapy, the person ain't going to know her and they ain't going to know me, because we need an unbiased.
when you said that, if something came to me, something that I had read or listened to a while back, and I think that it's also a healthy thing. Sometimes, you know, when you have friends or you have people mm-hmm. in your lives that know you both, and that can actually serve sure. as a benefit because they do know you. But I think that if I remember correctly, basically what it was the couple would agree upon one person that the other person could discuss their business with, if you will, and it would have to be approved by the other person. So you're not out here talking to everybody about your business, but you have one person that you can go to that your spouse or your significant other approves of, you bouncing ideas off of, bouncing, you know, when you're trying to sort through some things that you might be trying to sort through something, and we don't know everything. But I just thought that was interesting as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Danielle raised a point about her husband only wanting her to be associated with married couples. To an extent, I can kind of agree with that. Because I wouldn't necessarily want my wife always around single women because they are single. And if my wife is not strong enough, then that could pull her into an avenue that she should not be in because she's easily pulled into peer pressure.
That's a whole nother show.
Oh, that's a whole nother show. Right.
Yeah, that's a whole, because like I can really go with that, but I'm just going to leave that with that. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah. You know, but to the avenue of therapy, a single person's perspective, unless they were married before, they actually don't really have a take in a married person's perception of their marriage because, hence, they're single. They're no longer married. So, obviously, something did not work. They can give you valid points from their union, but you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't take therapeutic advice from a single person about my marriage. That's just me. You know, I'll listen, but it's just not sound advice that I would follow. Just because you know you're not married, you're coming at me from a single person's point of view. If you were married, then the advice that you're giving, you may have taken yourself. Hopefully you didn't, but if you did and it didn't work for you, then why would you be giving that on to someone else? Now, if you're giving it to say that, hey, look, you know what, this is what I did and it didn't work for us. Okay, I can get with that. I can get with that. But yeah, I like your perspective. I like your perspective, absolutely. Definitely.
Thank you. You're giving me ideas for my show. That's a whole nother show.
I know,
too.
That's good. That's good. Ooh, that's good. I love it. Creativity. Creativity bouncing all around. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, dear Rain, darling, now that we've gotten that out of the way, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
So I'm bringing a piece back to you that has since been, because this is the piece, Rainfall, that I did just a couple, I don't know, probably last week. But I have since...
Okay.
Added some things, and if anyone has not seen or heard or whatever, Janice did an amazing job bringing this to life. And this was actually a piece I wrote many years ago, and I rewrote it, and I've been rewriting it ever since I rewrote it. So.
Okay. All right. Well, mm-hmm. the mic is yours. Yeah.
Thank you. There's something about the smell of rain. The sound it makes heightening each of my senses, the harder it falls, slowly saturating my thoughts as they travel to you. As I recall the flutter I felt when you walked through the door, I watched, waited. As you turned the corner, I shyly looked away and glanced back with a big smile on my face. Your pace quickened when your eyes met mine. See, this was intended to be a friendly meeting. Just two poets, some drinks, and an engaging conversation. But the way you wrapped your arms around me like we were past lovers, like an unrequited love was about to be realized, like you needed this connection
as much as I. Your embrace, perfect. It had me feeling some kind of way. The hello hug was everything I needed, but the goodbye, you made sure I felt everything that you didn't say. Listening to this rain dance across the pane, I wonder, what are you doing right now? Have I crossed your mind since that night? I'm lying here reflecting on how you confessed that you rested well that night. Very well, in fact, simply because my scent lingered on you for hours after I was gone. I should tell you that your energy did the same. Honestly, everything about you still lingers. You were totally unexpected, a pleasant surprise, a decade waiting to happen. Your smile said more than your words, your eyes conveyed what your lips dared not say, just yet. Your touch was innocent, or was it? A slight brush here, a more deliberate brush there, with a long pause before shifting. I've learned everything you do is deliberate, calculated even. Speaking of, I adore how you tucked your intentions in the corner of my smile as we conversed, laughed and shared and dared to live in the moment. But right now, I reminisce. Part of me wishes there was no distance so you could just come lay by my side. Listen to the rain fall with me, wrap me with a thousand reasons to just forget tomorrow. Playfully splash around in this moment with me till forever is and till never, never comes. I wonder, storming where you are, if the storm is beating against your walls of inhibition too. Do you hear me between each drop? It seems you were feeling me and hearing me long before I knew. I like the idea of us moving in slow motion. I am hoping that you remember my laugh and my fragrance and the softness of my touch. And as for me, I bask in your energy, the subtle invitation in your embrace and how your words were deliberate and direct. That alone is enough to cause this rain to form a quiet storm. In time, perhaps you'll hear the gasping crack of my thunder in the backdrop of my typhoon, feel the intensity of my hurricane. In my mind, I know that you'd invoke me, and you'd know exactly when I'm close to. Maybe in time, I'll let you be there to catch my rainfall. That's right.
My goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Whew. Baby, you make the rain just sound like something I just want to go play in. I'm just saying.
I'm not touching that one.
I know y'all understand what I'm saying. She did. Listen.
Thank you, Poetic.
This was beautiful. You. This was beautiful. This, yes, she did bring it to life. She did bring it to life, but this piece was something else. This is something else. Like I said, I want to go outside in the rain. It may sound crazy, but I want to go outside in the rain. Oh, my God. Listen, don't get me started. Man, please don't get me started.
You already started. I mean,
ooh, my goodness! I might have to find that and play that tonight before we close out this show. I might have.
You
to.
Should do that.
But,
You should do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, before I send
I just
you over
can't
to
wait
the
for
VIP,
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night,
I mean,
the Inspiration
sorry,
Factory.
Night.
You mean
Monday
night?
Monday night.
Y'all fitting to have my
I'm
cheeks
ready.
Like? Yeah.
I am so ready.
Oh, man. Just know, y'all, just know that I'm always ready.
He's not ready, y'all. Not for this. He's not ready.
Always ready.
He's not ready.
Always.
He's not ready.
Hey, always. But.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We shall see. We shall see. But, darling Rain, before I send you over to the VIP lounge, let everybody know what you got coming up in the Epiphany Radio universe. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Indeed. Starting August 23rd, my show will start Raw with Rain, and I will be, my co-host will be none other than CEO Precious, my Precious himself, Mr. Author Larry Maddox. He will be co-hosting with me for a couple of shows, and we will be alternating Monday nights with, what is it, the y'all chillin', Let's Chill?
The Soul Cafe.
The Soul Cafe.
Soul Cafe.
He said something about chill. He and I were talking. I know it's a Soul Cafe, but what is it? There's a chill in there.
Soul
room,
Cafe.
Right?
Let's chill. It's the Soul Cafe.
Let's chill.
Yeah.
I knew. I forgot. I'm horrible.
That's all right.
I'm horrible. But it'll be alternating nights with the Soul Cafe. So y'all come out. It's going to be interesting.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. Looking forward. Man. All right, darling. Are you ready to get
Thank
over
you,
to that VIP lounge to
mm-hmm.
do something?
Are they ready for me?
Sip on some. Hey, listen, they ready. Oh, they ready.
Okay. All right. I'm ready then.
All right. On our way to the VIP lounge, y'all. Rain. One love, one mic, darling. Baby. Whew. My gracious, man. Did she come through and make it rain or what? Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned into Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, let's talk about it, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And by all means, please press 1. But those that were listening online, they're a little too late. They got cut off. Because we're into overtime now. So, sorry for you if you didn't make it in. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You'll catch it all on the playback. You know. But, tonight's topic, couples therapy. Should it be a staple as a part of your union to maintain your healthy relationship? Whether your union is marriage, whether you're just starting and, you know, should you just be in couples therapy, just iron out any kinks or even make it better? I mean, what are your thoughts? Let's talk about it. Next up, we got my brother, Just Jay. What's good with you, Jared?
What's going on with you, Poetic?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, brother. How about yourself, man?
Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm taking in the talk that's been going on tonight, man. I've been hearing a lot of people been communicating now, but it'd be good if they could communicate while they're in them with these relationships that they're talking about.
Ooh,
as freely and as openly.
You saying a mouthful right now, my friend. You are saying a mouthful right now.
Yeah.
Man.
You know what, Van, man, I've been going on these little clubhouse things and I've been listening to people talk about their relationships and the rest of that type of stuff, and some of them would have partners and some of them wouldn't. And a lot of the people that were sounding like they had it all together, man, they would have partners or what may have you. They were saying, I don't know if it was just exaggeration for the other people to listen to, but, man, they sound like they were in very unhealthy relationships, man. Things have changed quite a bit since I was out there running in it. Doing what I was doing, man.
Yeah, man. Listen, man. There's a reason why I'm single right now, man. I'm not even gonna lie to you, man. It is crazy what goes on out here today, and just listening, you know, much like you, man, listening to what's happening on, you know, on Clubhouse and all of that kind of stuff. It's just amazing at the things that number one, we as a people, we allow, you know, and then there's these, well, this is what society says a relationship is supposed to look like. I mean, you could take society out, what society says a relationship is supposed to look like. What do you want a relationship to look like? What do you want to feel like in this relationship? What do you, what is your thing? You know?
Yeah.
And
that's easier said than done, though, because, you know, like every now and then I'd come home and my wife would be uptight with me. And it's like, oh, you've been watching Jerry Springer again, you know? So it's not so much a, what's a, yeah. Yep, I'll be there just a second, baby. I'm on the cell phone. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's kind of scary, man, because I used to hear, you know, different people come on Epiphany and they would talk about different things. I'm like, why are they saying that? And then once I didn't get back out there, and I ain't really out there, I'm out there listening to it on Clubhouse and in these different relationships, I was like, that's what dude was talking about.
Yeah,
I thought he was totally off base, but this is actually what the deal is, man.
It's crazy, bro. It's crazy.
I feel for all my single brothers and sisters out there, you know, because even if you do learn how to play the game, you've been and walked yourself so far out to sea that, you know, it'd be kind of hard to find land. And then when you do start searching for land, and you're trying to find a like-minded person, you like to hook up with somebody who's heading out to sea.
Ooh. Come on now.
Oh, man. it's bad. I feel for my single brothers and sisters. I really do.
Hey, man, we appreciate you. Man. We appreciate you feeling for us, man. We do, man. Thank you so much.
Man, I think Like you were saying with the whole communication thing, man, the communication thing is real bad. I get to the point now, man, when folks start talking crazy to me, I don't try to recognize what they're saying to me. I don't try to figure it out. I don't try to get them to go ahead and see what's going on. I go ahead and say it, and I leave it there. I ain't trying to pick it up. I ain't trying to touch it or nothing, man. People like to play games.
You know, man, do you think it's our responsibility to help educate those who aren't aware, even being tactful, right? Be tactful in your response, right? Because
I do.
At some point, if they're talking to you, right, they're talking to you, we might necessarily agree with what they're saying, but we can tactfully respond so that our point is heard and hopefully perceived. You know, without this combatible combustion, if you will, that because we as men, now come on, man, we as men, you know, we got this dominance thing, and we going to naturally butt heads. It's just a natural thing. However, the importance of us butting heads is that we can come out of our head butting and still be level headed and hear at each other's position. And move towards, you know, a point of, you know what, I might not agree with what you're saying, but I'm hearing what you're saying, and I appreciate your effort, brother. You know, that can go a long way. And when you're talking about this couples therapy thing, we kind of have the same mindset. We have to have the same mindset when it comes to our significant others, because chances are, you know, and I learned this a long time ago. We ain't going to win an argument with no woman. We're not.
You know what, man? I used to hear guys say that. And I was like, man, y'all ain't this, that, and the other. Man, I tell you what. And you know what? I would find out that attitude that I had would actually cause a divisiveness between me and her.
Yeah.
Even though you might win the argument, you didn't lost the battle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And man, it's up to us, man. It's up to us to be able to. One of the things that we've been charged with as leaders of our home, one is to properly lead, and two, we have to have a certain level of discernment when it comes to our women, if we are in a relationship with them, to be able to understand where they're coming from. Because, man, I don't know, it might have been Steve Harvey I heard say, he said, you can fight with a woman and she can pull something out of her catalog in her head that you done did from 15, 20 years ago if y'all been together that long.
Right.
And you'd be like, well, babe, how you going to bring that up? 15, 20 years old, how you going to bring that up? We're supposed to be past that. She say, oh, we are past it, but I need to remind you. I need to remind you.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
a big reminder, man. I try to get out of the reminder business, man. You know, man. Reminding folks don't help, man. It's like saying, calm down, let me remind you.
Yeah, Ashley, man. But I'm gonna tell you though. I'm gonna tell you. I'm guilty. Because one of the things that I love to do is I know that I may not win this here argument that you and I may have, but it's going to be one of the most uncomfortable victories you will have.
It's almost like playing spades. You got to lose a hand. Like, you know what? You're going to win.
Man.
But I'm about to talk trash to you and take the fun away from you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, but you know what, man? That's I'm going down with this ship.
Right. We're going down together. But listen, you can win, but it's not going to be a savory, sweet victory like you think. I'm going to pull out everything.
Not like
that.
Thank you. Doom, like you shooting flies, man. Put that elephant gun away.
Right. Nah, man. You want this win? You want this victory? Listen, you're going to have to work for it. Because in my Denzel voice, King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Right. Hey, that's the mentality, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what your athleticism is. You know what I'm saying? You standing there like Fabio, man. The wind is rustling through your scalp.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir. Man. That's what I'm
But this
about,
right here is
bro.
A needed conversation discussion, man. Even if it just started with one or two people and it keeps spreading out from there, I'm always about that, man.
Absolutely, man. We need that, man. You know, because we needed to communicate with each other, man. We needed to talk to each other, man. We needed to just be us, man, so that we can understand better. We want to understand better. And, you know, this is why we're having this conversation, so we can understand better. Now, my brother, now that we got the good part out of the way, can we get to the other good part? Can we get to the other good part?
Now, the other good part is your
poetry, man. So what piece do you have for us tonight?
Man, I'm going to do Lily and Wheat tonight. I haven't done it in a while.
All right, brother. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Appreciate you, poetic. Name this piece right here. It's called Lily and Wheat.
How bountiful is the beauty of a lily? Could awkward words flow evenly enough to draw in her outline or color in her colors, contours, and aroma? How do you express intangibleness? Is it fair to try with the lips? Could Webster's description suffice to see beauty, grace, and integrity? As sterile as his depiction would be. What is lovely? Isn't she? Yes. Like the rain over parched terrain, says the growing grain, sustenance its purpose again. Lily, forgive my shame. Might I know your name? If not, I pray you will be forever ingrained to some aspect of my mental imagery causing some type of neurological injury. Subject, sensibility, and symmetry. Lily, solidly but artfully and delicately balanced, cream of the crop, queen of the pageant, with a desire to be established. I tell you, our roots, our soil, our sweat, our toil. No pastry that enters this mouth would ever be as sweet than me saying, Lily, I am your leaf. In peace.
Man, you better go. I'm in my Jared voice, man, you better go ahead and quit playing.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Dope, dope piece, Jared, man. Dope, dope piece.
Thanks a lot, bro, man. I appreciate you doing this tonight, man. This right here is a topic that really needs to be had. It needs to be had in a serious adult manner like you are doing it, you know, and you're keeping it light, too, man. You're balancing a lot of furies here, Mr. Poetic.
Hey, man, listen, man. Listen, the only way for us as people, as humans, to get ahead, to make things better, is if we understand what each of us needs. And couples, man, listen, I never want to see a marriage fail, right? Mm-hmm. Every relationship has the potential to be a union in matrimony. And, you know, everyone talks about marriage this, marriage that. Let me tell y'all something. DMX's fiance of 8 years, or common law wife of 8 years, is not getting a dime or anything that she's entitled to because she does not have the legal title as wife. So understand something. Right. Understand something. That legal piece of paper has power. She's lost the man that she loves. She's lost her soulmate, lost the person that she wanted to spend the rest of her life with, and all she has to remember him by is memories.
You know, the crazy part about that, Van, is that whoever that money is going to, where is their heart at?
Right.
What they know about DMX and her and how she put up with all of his shenanigans.
Yes.
All of that time. Yes. Supported him, got him off the floor when he was sloppy drunk, or when he was gone for a week or two on crack binges or what may have you. She put up with all of that. The person who got the money, even if they don't say, well, take this money, show this woman some consideration. Go have with her.
Absolutely.
Do something. But people don't think that way, man.
Right. And, you know, and think about this. Let's think about this. What if they had been going to couples therapy for their relationship? They might already be married by now. Before he passed, they probably would have been married.
You know what, man? I like to take scenarios like that and keep walking them back until you get down to the root.
Yep.
What if DMX had never went into music? What if he had said, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and be a family man. And said, you know, I can do it, but I'm not going to go into it. Would he be still alive today?
Right. Right.
Because the music, with the music and the people that surround you, all that stuff comes with pressure. And if you're trying to get off of something and trying to straighten up your life, it makes it harder to happen. Because all those people around there, like Richard Pryor, he wasn't as funny when he wasn't all coked up. But at the same time, him being coked up was killing him.
Yep. Yep. Man.
So, yeah.
All right,
man.
My brother. Thank you, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you coming through, giving your perspective, man, being transparent. We need this, man. This is why these kind of topics are important, because we need this. And I appreciate you for coming through and providing another element of what we need. My good brother.
It's much love, Poetic.
Much love to you too, bro. Now get on over to that VIP lounge, man. Grab you a glass of bubbly before you got to tend to the wife. Hurry up and get a sip. You got to hurry up and get a sip.
I've almost forgot about that, man. Let me get out of here, but y'all be hearing something else.
All right, man. Absolutely. One love, one mic, bro. All right, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a good brother Jared on his way to grab a quick sip before he got to get back to the wife, man. And we're going to go from just Jay to Sir Lawrence, not just anybody, but a sir. I'm talking about y'all. What's good with you, Sir Lawrence? What's good, my brother?
Man, it's good, man. It's good. It's good.
Man, how you feeling, brother? How are you
topic.
Feeling?
Hey,
thank you, man.
I
thank
feel
you.
Real
I appreciate
good, man.
That, man.
Yeah, interesting topic.
Well, listen, man. Since it's so interesting, man, let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Can we just jump into it, man?
Please.
All right, bro. Listen, set this up. So we're talking about couples therapy, right? Should we engage in couples therapy if we're in a relationship trying to be a couple or already a couple, moving towards a longer unionship? What do you think?
Absolutely. Because that's what breaks you up in the first place. You know, and I've learned over the years. I mean, I've been in and out, and now I'm out. And you know, you learn along the way. But I think that for example, I think that when two people decide to come together, it's really a clash. You know, mm-hmm. because you have two different minds coming together as one. And you have mm-hmm. to learn how to do that. It doesn't just happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even all the vinegar, you got to shake the bottle, you know, form the congeal. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
And so, yeah, and then they're going to separate because, you know, you got your own way of thinking. They got their own way of thinking. So, and for example, the minute you put together or the minute you come together, right, it's like being presented with two pallets of bricks. You got a mm-hmm. pallet and they got a pallet. All right. Every time you fall out, you know, get into a pissed off argument, whatever the case, then you set a brick down. All right, and then when you kiss and make up, you take a brick back. Okay? So the object is not to build a wall, because that's what will eventually happen. You keep setting bricks down.
Okay.
And everything. So I mean, and the biggest thing about having that therapy is because a lot of times you have something going on in your head or their head. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you mix that, you mix that with habits. You understand? Because that's really what you should review before you decide the union. Because habits is the difference between you staying together and not. Because the minute the habit raises its head, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, look, is this something that I'm going to be able to deal with? Because it ain't going nowhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. You know, that's a very, very interesting point. That's a very interesting point, because what if your partner has something about them that they've always had and you've always overlooked it, but couples therapy makes you really dissect it and be like, dang, you know, I really don't like this about you, but I've overlooked mm-hmm. it all this time. Now, can you continue on? Can you carry on? But that thing has been eating at you. And, you know, most people use those kinds of things as like their escape clause. Like, exactly. you've always done this, and I can't take it. So, you know what? I'm leaving you because of this. Escape clause.
I mean, One of my favorite artists, man, and I brag on this guy all the time, and one of these days I'm going to meet him. His name is Michael Frank.
Okay.
And he has this one song, and then the song is called, what is the name of that song? Damn, I can't remember the name of the song, but basically what the lyrics of the song talks about a drop of rainwater on its journey to becoming the largest waterfall in the world. And I say all that to say it. You overlook the habit now because it's like, you know, you can blink. You can turn your head. You can lead a house. You understand? But it's going to keep building. It's going to keep building. And that's what makes you blow up. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
Indeed.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about, bro. And I appreciate you, Sir Lawrence, man. I love your perspective.
Right on, man.
I really do, man.
Right on. Thank you.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Now, my brother, you know, as much as I enjoy your perspective, bro, I also enjoy your poetry. So what did you bring for us tonight?
You know, I wrote this piece because this is when you're going into the honeymoon, this is the beginning of everything. And that's what this piece is about.
Okay. All right. The mic is yours, bro.
Honeymoon is being bathed in sweetness while soaring above the earth. The honey is to help us remember what we should refer to each other as. The moon represents the contrast between us. Honey's pureness man didn't make. Us know God blessed it. The distance to the moon is the time we will be together. Honey's richness and color is the feeling of being two upper halves of a million in this golden moment. While remembering, one has to polish gold from time to time to bring back its true luster. The surface of the moon has craters throughout because the pathway will not always be smooth. Honey is sticky, and the earth has a gravitational pull on the moon for the shared bond between us. Honey's thickness shows our love can't be easily diluted. The moon has no gravity, so nothing can hold us down. Honey's gradual pour is for that special moment to go slow enough to understand each other. Learn me and I you. How do I really need to kiss you? How should we touch? How do we really make love to each other? The moon is not always full to mean there will be mood swings. But if you look closely, the whole moon is always there. Honey is sweet, be it your taste, touch, smile, what you say, or just being you, sweetheart. Sherlock.
Yes, sir, my bro. Yes, sir, bro. Oh, my God. Honey is sticky. It's sweet, too.
Honey is sticky. Woo! Yes, sir.
Baby. Yes, sir, man.
For real,
dope piece, bro, man.
Thank
I love
you,
your work,
thank
man.
Thank you very much.
This is an amazing piece as well, man. Man.
Appreciate
man,
it.
Man, man. Thank you for coming through, Sir Lawrence, as always, man.
Absolutely.
Good to hear you.
Absolutely.
Quick, man.
Absolutely.
Good to have you back.
Always,
good
man.
To have you back.
Yes, sir.
Now,
I'm glad to be back, too, man. I missed you guys.
Oh, man, we miss you too, man. We miss you too. But now, my bro, you got to get over
yes,
there to
sir.
The VIP lounge. The party is going down. The champagne is free-flowing. Glasses is empty. Hey, man, just look, y'all, you just tell everybody keep it hush. Don't let the CEO know how much this stuff costs, man, because, you know, I like what I do around here. I try to keep costs at a minimum so we can just show out on tonight's show. So I try to keep the costs at a minimum all week. But y'all come through destroying mics, and I got to replace mics. So, you know, just we're just going to keep the expensiveness of the champagne on the hush, But it's from Paris, man. Grab you some, man. And I will be joining y'all very shortly, my brother.
Right on. Right on.
All right, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, on his way to the VIP, Sir Lawrence, one love, one mic, my brother. Take your socks off.
One
baby,
love, one
baby.
Mic. Hey, baby.
Man, so good. So good to hear, my brother. Hey, man, we come to the end of the show, but before we do that, let's give you the rundown of the week. Join us tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factor with your host, Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is the Soul Cafe with your host, the CEO himself, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. Pharrell the Poet Douglas, La Perla La Negra, essentially Janice on the event page, and yours truly, Poetic. And they will actually be featuring, Monday night, the work of yours truly, Poetic. I'm excited about it, nervous at the same time. Then Tuesday night is going to be War Council with Mojave. Wednesday night, the Love Zone, Miss VIP and La Perla La Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, is Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. And then Saturday night, y'all, we'll be here with Poetic Therapy, La Perla La Negra, and Stan the Man Phillips. Man, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in a relationship, please consider couples therapy. Maybe you don't do it, once a month. Maybe you do it, once every 6 months or something like that. Get into some type of routine to talk with a third party about your relationship, your union, what you have going on, so that y'all can keep it healthy. I know once I'm into a relationship again, I will definitely be doing that because, it's very good to have, an area outside of your normalcy that allows you to communicate and talk about issues beyond the scope of your home, the four walls where you dwell. But more importantly, communication. We don't effectively communicate well with each other as men and women, in relationships. So make sure, just consider it, one love, one mic. Thank you, the callers, the poets, the listeners, but taking 2.5 hours out of your evening on a Saturday night to do date night differently with me, I humbly appreciate it. And I look forward to doing it again with you all a week from next Saturday. So see y'all tomorrow night on the Inspiration Factory. One love, one mic. Take your socks off. Baby, baby. Peace.